So my friends, it's normally at this point that I would be encouraging you to open your Bibles to the passage that we're going to look at. But on this occasion, there actually is no specific passage. And that's because tonight we are considering the topic of friendship. And while Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, says a whole lot of stuff about friendship, it says it in short, scattered sayings throughout the entire book. And so I'll be putting those verses up on the screen as we go along tonight. But I must say that I don't think that I've ever actually heard or far less preached a sermon about friendship. And when you think about it, that's a bit odd because when in reality, these relationships, these friendships, are such a significant part of our lives. I mean, already as infants, we find ourselves with friends, generally under the orchestration of our parents. Then we reach school age and we discover that for the next 12 or so years, friendships are going to be absolutely central to our whole existence, both within and outside of the classroom. And as we move on further to adulthood, those relationships keep developing and new ones are formed. For those who are young and single, good, solid friendships are vital, vital for your well-being. And the same applies later in life when many find themselves single again through separation or widowhood. But that doesn't mean that friendship is unimportant for those who are married. In fact, many couples will say that their husband or their wife is their best friend. And everyone who is married needs positive relationships outside of that as well. Some find their closest friendships in their own family, with the bond between sisters or brothers or between a parent and child being much more than just a blood relationship. Some retain friendships from their school days, while others find new ones in the workforce or through other networks. And as Christians, of course, we very, very often find our best friends right here in the church. But whoever our friends are, I'm sure we would all agree that these relationships are of great importance to us. Because friends are people we enjoy spending time with. They're the ones we can be open and honest with, who we can laugh with and cry with. They're the ones we turn to for acceptance and support, for help and for love, for a listening ear and for sound advice. And they are people who have influence in our lives. But yet, at the same time, I'm sure we would also agree that there are both good friends and bad friends. There are those who make our lives better and those who do the opposite. And in fact, that is actually the main reason why Proverbs addresses this whole matter. For most of the teachings in the book of Proverbs are designed to help us to distinguish between positive and negative friends. And thus the title of our sermon tonight, Wise Friendship. These sayings were written to help us to find the best friends in life. But they're also written to help us to be the best friends in life. And so tonight I'd like to urge you to keep both of those things side by side. How can this help me to choose good friends? But also, how can this help me to be a good friend? Now, one thing that I need to explain up front is that in Old Testament Hebrew, the word for friend is actually the same as the word for neighbor. That's because the word basically describes closeness. Sometimes closeness in relationship, like a friend. And sometimes closeness in proximity, like a neighbour. And only context reveals the difference. But we should also realise that these two ideas were not as distinct back then as they may be today. In the days before easy travel and easy communication, your neighbours very often were your friends. And so, as we explore this topic tonight, some of the verses will refer to neighbours, but they will apply equally to friends. So the way we're going to approach this is by considering four qualities of a good friend. And this is really valuable for us to think about. You see, as it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I wonder how often we actually stop and think about this. It seems to me that rather often we just fall into friendships, don't we? And then we get stuck in them, whether they're beneficial or not. We see this in teenagers, when they fall in with the wrong crowd, getting led astray by people who don't really care about them, making unwise decisions about lifestyle and relationships and so on. But we also see it in those who are older. Far too often I have witnessed people being dragged away from their families and from their marriages and from their churches and even from their good friends, and all because of a new relationship, a new friend who pulls them in the wrong direction. Or we can think even of how elderly folk so often these days fall for scams of various kinds, whether romantic or financial or whatever they may be. They come in contact with someone who claims to be a friend, who flatters them, who takes an interest in them and promises them the world. But in reality, they're just taking advantage and doing them harm. In Proverbs 16, verse 29, it says, "A violent person entices their neighbour and leads them down a path that is not good." And so the Lord tells us to choose our friends carefully, to be wise, and to consider whether they have the qualities that we're about to look at. But we should also have the wisdom to develop these very same qualities in ourselves as we seek to be a genuine friend to others. So the first of these four qualities is godliness. Think of what it says in Proverbs 22, verse 11. It says, "One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend." This verse describes the person who genuinely seeks to be righteous and compassionate. They strive to be faithful to the Lord and respectful, honest, and kind to others. They want to love God with all their heart and their neighbour as themselves. They're the one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace. But it says that this person will have the king for a friend. In other words, everyone would want to have a friend like this. Even the king. Even the king who could choose anyone in their whole kingdom. They would choose this person above all others. But that makes you think, doesn't it? How high is godliness on my list of friendship qualifications? Sadly, some would want the exact opposite. They'd want someone ungodly as their friend, perhaps because they think that they're going to be more fun, or more popular, or more easygoing. Or perhaps, like many, we just don't think about it all that much. It's not a high priority. We choose our friends based on other factors, and whether they're godly or not is just an incidental detail. But if we did that, well, then we'd be ignoring the strong influence that friends have on us. You see, an ungodly friend can draw us away from the Lord. They can encourage us to compromise on our principles. They can make us more self-centered and more worldly and more materialistic. But a godly friend will do the opposite. Remember that well-known saying in Proverbs 27, verse 17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Just as an iron knife or sword can be used to make another implement sharper, so a good friend can make you sharper, better, godlier. Choose the right influences, and they will help you to grow in faith and in holiness and in wisdom. And we should also remember the words of Proverbs 27 verse 9. It says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." A good friend, it's telling us, it's just great. They give us a deep sense of joy, like an exquisite perfume. But what quality makes them so special? It's their heartfelt advice. It's their sincere desire to have a positive influence in our lives. So my friends, let's look for friends who will do us good, who will make us better, who will point us to Jesus and not away from Him, who will encourage us to grow in knowledge and in trust and in spiritual maturity. And let us also be that kind of friend, not an ungodly or a neutral influence, but one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace, one who wants to sharpen other people, one who wants to bless them with heartfelt advice. The first quality of a good friend is godliness. But the second is reliability. Consider Proverbs 18 verse 24. It says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. It's fairly easy, isn't it, to find and to keep friends when everything's going well in life, when it's all smooth sailing. But it's in times of hardships that bad friends show themselves for who they really are. If they desert you just at the moment when you need them, well, then they're actually of no use, and you find your life ruined. But sadly, it happens, doesn't it? You know, I've heard so many people say to me that when you get diagnosed with cancer, or you get in trouble with the law, or you go through a divorce, or you lose your job, well, it's then that you find out who your real friends are. Because some will desert you. And if they all desert you, well, then you'll have nothing left to fall back on. These are what we call fair-weather friends. Those who are only interested when things go well. That's why in Proverbs 14, verse 20, it says, "The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends." And also in Proverbs 19, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Many curry favour with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of the one who gives gifts. The poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them?" But that's exactly why we should be seeking that friend who sticks closer than a brother. In the time these proverbs were written, family relationships were extremely strong. But that only emphasizes how treasured a good friend can be. For a truly good friend will support you even more than your own flesh and blood, no matter how tough things get. Maybe you've had friends like this, the sort who don't care if you're rich or poor, popular or despised, healthy or sick, successful or failing. They are the ones who are faithful even when you've done wrong by them, even when you've let them down, even when you've treated them badly. In Proverbs 17 verse 7 it says, "A friend, that is a true friend, loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." A true friend sticks as close as a brother through thick and thin and through the deepest valleys of life. That's why they're worth their weight in gold. And so the Lord urges us to look for friends who are reliable and urges us to be reliable in return. Now the third quality of a good friend that we find in the book of Proverbs, the third quality is candor. And what is candor? Well, by that I mean a willingness to be completely honest and frank, a willingness to even confront when necessary. We see this, for example, in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." An enemy, that is, a bad friend, well, they will put on the impression of love and care whilst underneath they're only in it for themselves. They'll sweet talk you with false affection and false praise. In Proverbs 29, verse 5, it says, "Those who flatter their neighbours are spreading nets for their feet. These are the people who will multiply kisses to get what they want." And what better example, or dare I say, what worse example than Judas Iscariot and his sickening kiss of betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane? But on the other hand, a true friend will love you so much that they will be willing to confront you when they think you're on the wrong track. They'll be so concerned about you that they will even be willing to risk causing pain, even risk your retaliation, even risk ruining the entire friendship, rather than stand idly by and watch you go astray. And if you're wise, then you will not only accept their correction, but you will in fact desire it. For you will know that their criticism is constructive, that their rebuke stems from a genuine concern for your well-being, and that they would only ever wound you because they know that it's for your own good. In Proverbs 17, verse 10, it says, "A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool." But we need to ask ourselves, am I a discerning person? Am I willing to take or to keep a friend knowing that they will correct me and they will rebuke me when they need to? You know, I think sometimes we can be foolish and prefer to receive false flattery rather than an honest reprimand. But what good will that do us in the end? My friends, let's be willing to look for friends who have candor, who will hold us to account. And again, let us be willing to be that kind of friend as well. But now the fourth and final quality is tactfulness. We want friends with godliness, reliability, and candor, but we also want them to have tact. In other words, a good friend is smart and sensitive. They are thoughtful and perceptive. And you know, the book of Proverbs gives us the most marvelous examples of what that looks like in real life. In Proverbs 25, verse 17, it says, "Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you." In other words, good friends know how not to outstay their welcome. In verse 20 of that same chapter, it says, "Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is the one who sings songs to a heavy heart." And so we're reminded again that a true friend will not act frivolously or stupidly when there are serious matters at hand. In chapter 26, verses 18 and 19, we read, "Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbour and says, 'I was only joking.'" That means a good friend will never try to look clever or funny at your expense and then try to cover it up saying, "I didn't mean it. I meant no harm. I was only joking." And then there is my personal favourite, chapter 27, verse 14. "If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse." In other words, a good friend won't try to do something nice in a brainless way. They'll think through the consequences before they speak or act. And so as you can see, these are all examples of having tact, of being smart, of being sensitive. And the Lord says, this is the kind of friend you really want. The kind who can discern what's right and wrong. The kind who engages their brain before they open their mouth. And this is the kind of friend you want to be. One who can be relied upon to have tact in sensitive situations. So my friends, we've now seen four qualities of a good friend. The Lord has shown us in the book of Proverbs that the best kind of friendship is found in someone who is godly, who is reliable, who is candid, and who is tactful. And this reminds us that a good friendship is in fact an extremely precious thing. This all reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where it says this, two are better than one, because they have good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. How good it is to have true friends, to have great friends who make us better people, helping us to be mature in Christ, never letting us down when times are tough, willing to confront us when we're going astray, and doing all of this with perception and sensitivity. But those sorts of friends are hard to find, and maybe they're lacking in your life. In fact, maybe you're here tonight and you feel that you have no good friends at all. Well, that's exactly why we need to remember another passage, this time from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Here Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then listen to these next words. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. My sisters and brothers in Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what your situation in life, you can always find a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, could there be a friend more godly than the perfect Son of God? Could there be one more reliable than he who even laid down his life for his friends? Could there be one more candid than the one who calls on us to keep his commands? Could there be a friend more tactful than the one who is all loving, all gracious, and all wise? And so if you are here tonight and you have trusted in Jesus Christ for your eternal redemption and that you have sought to follow him, then you can also know him, not just as Saviour, not just as Lord, but as your dearest friend. Even if you would have no one else in this world, you could have him, and he will never let you down. There is no friend more trustworthy. There is no friend more compassionate. There is no friend more accepting, and there is no friend more loving. He's always ready to listen, and he's always ready to help you in your time of need. But more than that, he's the one who can so work in our lives that if we need a true friend He can provide them. And he's the one who can so work in our hearts that he can transform us into the friend that we need to be. So as we conclude, we've been thinking tonight about wise friendship. And maybe you've heard something here tonight that requires a response. Maybe you've realized tonight that you actually need to find different friends, because the ones you have are leading you astray, dragging you away from the Lord. Maybe you have seen tonight that you need to value the friends that you have even more, because they are such a blessing in your life. Maybe you've been convicted tonight that you yourself need to be a better friend, that you've actually been self-serving in your friendships, and you could do so much more to encourage others. Or maybe you've realized that you could direct more of your friendship to lonely people in this church, or to lost people outside this church, those who so desperately need your love and support. But whatever other response we make, may we also have seen that whatever our circumstances, we already have the greatest friend of all. For Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." May the reality of his deep and perfect friendship fill us with joy and comfort and peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you tonight that your word, it just amazes us, because it covers every aspect of life in this world. And Father, even though these proverbs were written so long ago, in many ways it's as though they were written yesterday, because they speak to our situation so clearly thousands of years later. Father, that reminds us that they are not just words on a page, but they are your word given to us that we might know you, but also that we might learn from you, that we might learn to be wise. And Father, we pray that we might indeed learn to be wise from this section of your word on friendship. Lord, help us to seek good friends, friends who are godly, friends who are reliable, friends who will help to keep us on the right track, and friends who have tact. But Father, even as we think about that, we recognize that we too need to respond by being that kind of friend to others. Lord, we pray that we might be the kind of friend who brings good in other people's lives, who point people to Jesus, who encourage them in their faith, who confront them when they're going off the track, and who help them to serve you. And Lord, may we also be the kind of friend who is willing to bring the gospel to those who are not believers. Father, that we would love them so much that we would not leave them in their sin, but that we would urge them to turn to you in repentance and in faith. Lord, may we be that kind of friend. And Father, may we also know our greatest friend, and may we know him deeply, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you that you laid down your life for us because we are your friends. May we know you that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.